Hello and welcome to Onk Live On Air. I'm your host today, Jason Harris. Onk Live On Air is a podcast from Onk Live, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Onk Live covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, I spoke with Xianxin Hua, MD, PhD, a professor of cancer biology with the Abramson Family Cancer Research Institute at the University of Pennsylvania. He joined me to talk about the treatment and diagnosis of neuroendocrine tumors for Onk Live's Rare Cancer Series. ASCO estimates that there are 175,000 people living with NETs in the United States, with approximately 12,000 new diagnoses annually. NETs can appear in the lung, small intestine, rectum, colon, pancreas, or stomach. The five-year overall survival rate for all NETs is 39.4%. Despite a handful of successes, most notably atezolizumab plus carboplatin and etoposide for lung NETs, the history of immunotherapy has been disappointing in this disease. Dr. Hua is leading a team at Penn that has developed CAR T-cells targeting CDH17, a cell surface adhesion protein that is frequently upregulated in NETs and gastrointestinal tumors. In preclinical models, the anti-CDH17 CAR T-cells eliminated NET cells while sparing normal epithelial cells. In our exclusive interview, Dr. Hua talked about the unmet need in NETs, explained the difficulty of detecting NETs, and highlighted his study findings. Dr. Hua, thank you for joining us this morning. I appreciate your time.
My pleasure.
To start from a very basic level, what is the unmet need in neuroendocrine tumors? It seems like there's a lot of agents, even if they vary in efficacy.
The key unmet need is that when the neuroendocrine tumors or NETs become metastatic or metastasized to other organs, it's very hard to control the growth of NETs. And there are many ways to treat NETs, as you mentioned. But when the metastasized, it's very hard to control. And the unmet need is to develop better therapy, which can control and hopefully eventually eradicate the metastatic NETs and hopefully cure the patient.
Obviously, NETs appear in a wide variety of organs, but why are they so difficult to diagnose?
Unlike other gastrointestinal carcinomas, or such as colorectal cancer, gastric cancer, the NETs actually do not develop within the surface of the intestine epithelium. So for other colorectal cancer, like gastric cancer, they develop first from the surface of intestinal epithelium. So it's easy to catch and to see by endoscopy. GI NETs develop very close to the outside of the intestine or close to the plasma membrane. Therefore, it's very difficult to diagnose. And even at surgery, some surgeons have challenge difficulties to see clear boundary. Sometimes I have to feel with the finger. These properties make it very challenging. Of course, there are some others as well.
Symptoms obviously vary a lot by location, but are there common symptoms you're looking for with NETs?
The common one for the gastrointestinal NETs, so you already have a great discomfort or pain in abdomen or rectum and nausea, vomiting or diarrhea and others. And for carcinoid, there's also have a diarrhea and also symptom of excess release of hormone like serotonin and flush of skin. Pancreatic and neuroendocrine tumor, sometimes you see the beta cell hyperplasia secreted a lot of insulin, could affect glucose. And of course, because there are many different subtype of cells in neuroendocrine tumor, each of them, if overgrow, you can have specific manifestations. That's also why it's so difficult to diagnose. Even they sometimes share some common symptoms.
When we were talking before, I know you wanted to talk about immunotherapy for NETs, and that modality has been a little disappointing in this disease. But according to one paper published last year, there were 9 different ICI drugs under investigation in 19 randomized controlled trials. So why do investigators hold out hope for immunotherapy in neuroendocrine tumors?
I think still a lot of unknown things to be learned. And also there are many different immunotherapy approaches to be taken. In short, I absolutely agree with you. It's disappointing with ICI single treatment or just one ICI combined with the other drugs. And the one major reason is the neuroendocrine tumor generally a cold tumor. Very few T cell, especially the tumor killing CD8. Positive T cell infiltrated in the NET, make it very resistant to immunotherapy, okay, with the ICI. Because the way ICI works is to tap into the endogenous T cell, tumor killing cell, to make it amplify, work much better. If you have very few those cells to begin with, it would be quite a challenge to make it effective.
Atezolizumab, obviously a PD-1 inhibitor, has been approved to treat lung NETs. Is that the most effective agent we found to date?
This is a very aggressive type of tumor. This development is very significant. It's the first combinatory treatment approved by FDA for the lung NETs over 20 years. In that setting, it's quite significant. It's very meaningful. However, as you can see, survival time still only increased a couple of months, illustrating the super aggressiveness of this disease and also demonstrate there's room to improve.
In a study published last year, spartalizumab plus an anti-LAG-3 antibody achieved an 86% clinical benefit rate in 24 weeks. What are your thoughts on spartalizumab?
On the surface, definitely it's impressive to get an 86% response. That's impressive. As these results are reported at 24 weeks, as you mentioned, I saw it, but I didn't have the detailed report. So it's still relatively early, and it would give us much more comprehensive view when we reach longer time frame and also more patients. But overall, I think it's quite encouraging.
What other immunotherapy options are you looking forward to seeing reported?
Immune checkpoint inhibitor is very powerful and potent when the endogenous T cell can mount attack to the tumor. For neuroendocrine tumor, as I mentioned earlier, it's a cold cancer. So there are few endogenous T cells from human body to attack the tumor. Second, also, the neuroendocrine tumor, generally speaking, have low burden of mutations, or in other words, also low neoantigen. That usually means the endogenous T cell do not mount a very potent immune response to the tumor cell. Based on that thinking, we hope to develop some CAR T, so that's a living T cell, which is equivalent with the receptor which directly bind the tumor antigen in neuroendocrine tumor, and then launch a physical attack, directly kill the tumor. If we can have that approach, in theory, that would provide alternative way to treat a neuroendocrine tumor with cell immunotherapy.
You mentioned CAR-T, so I want to give you a chance to talk about your own research. You led a team at Penn that developed anti-CDH17 CAR T cells, and it's early yet. So far, it's only been tested in mouse models and human cells in vitro. But how did you hit upon CDH17 as a target, and what have you found so far?
That's a very good point. We took an unconventional, sometimes reversal way to develop CAR T. Most people, so they see a target, and then they think, okay, this target may be important. And then they develop an antibody and make a CAR T and see whether CAR T can cure the tumor in vitro or in vivo in preclinic and then test the clinic. So that's the conventional way. For us, we think, well, there's very few markers in neuroendocrine tumor and then very few available antibody. So then we just have this hypothesis that if we generate a bunch of antibody against the NET neuroendocrine tumor cell, then we get a good antibody. Then we found what antigen this antibody binded in the neuroendocrine tumor cell. So through this unbiased way, unconventional reversal approach, so we first get the potent antibody and the CAR-T, then we found it binds CD17. So this is quite a surprising result we found, because we never knew CD17 could be a good target before.
When you applied the CAR-T cells, what was the effect on the cancer cells?
In short, the effect of the CAR-T on neuroendocrine tumor is good in vitro. However, more remarkable, even surprising, is what we observed inside the tumor in preclinical model in immune deficient mice in this case. What we see is the best CAR-T, third generation CAR-T, we see is completely eradicated the tumor cell. And the CAR-T just thrown in and infiltrated all the tumor. You can see the tumor gradually completely disappear, eradication. So that's led us to a route to test the overall in 8 different model of tumors in preclinic, and they are very potent.
You also found that it was well tolerated. It largely spared healthy tissue, correct?
That's correct, and also surprising for us. So we use unbiased way find the CD17 is an effective target. But initially, to our dismay, we found this CD17 is also expressed in normal epithelial cell. Conventional wisdom will say, oh, your CAR-T CD17 target the tumor. Okay, you kill tumor. Of course, good. However, because CD17 is expressed in the epithelium, so you're going to kill the epithelial cell. Then you're going to have a very damaging effect for the normal tissue. That's a non-starter. Surprisingly, our data definitively demonstrate the CAR-T cell specifically attacked the tumors because the CD17 is expressed all over the tumor because the CD17 dysregulated tumor. However, in normal epithelial cell, because each epithelial cell, just like our two hands, they side by side, they are good neighbor. Each epithelial cell have a tight junction with its neighbor. It does not allow the water or nutrient in the intestine freely pass through this gap. So they seal very tightly. So CD17 is like a adhesion molecule. It's a sealer, hide between the tight junction. Then cannot be found by CAR-T cell. So in numerous models, we found the CAR-T, spare the normal epithelium. So that's another surprising thing. So that make two potent like toxicity make this potentially ideal target to further develop more potent immunotherapy for NETs.
Do you know yet when you'll move into in-human trials?
This technology, CD17 CAR-T technology, has been licensed to Chimeric Therapeutics by Penn Center of Innovation. So Chimeric is leading a very aggressive push to get a clinic study. Now it's in the process of regulatory approval, and hopefully by the end of this year, early of next year, we could be at the stage of enroll the patient. That's the hope.
That's all we have time for today. Thanks again to my guest, Dr. Xinyan Hua, and thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive On Air. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at OncLive and at OncLiveSOSS. On Facebook, like us at OncLive and OncLive State of the Science Summit, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of Onc Live On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you're there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to Onc Live On Air.